Hello. As always, Masha tells you stories and welcomes you to the second episode of a podcast, Film Gracia Artist, or just Film, if shortly. Here I share tales that inspire and reveal unique experiences of creators, makers, and lovers of all kinds. I hope you find this program interesting and encouraging, whatever you do, practice art or enjoy living and learning about other people's work. Work, especially a creative one, is something that makes us think outside the box and realize various ideas, even if we don't accomplish anything by hand. You know the ancient story of Sisyphus, who was condemned for eternal rolling a boulder uphill? His activity has always been criticized by thinkers and regarded as a waste of time. But I guess that in this could be found some sense. It may teach us a lesson of a seemingly endless, purposeless task, prompting reflection on the meaning and purpose of life or the purpose of action. That's why it's crucial to pose lots of questions to inner self, whatever we do. Why do we make things? Is there any connection between the creative and logical nature of a human? Why do we do this? I'm sure you always linger in your mind on such topics, and that's great. When we work on something or make things manually, we reflect on an idea. Our brain connects different pieces of information, recalls past experiences, and engages in divergent thinking. This process relies on key regions such as the prefrontal cortex, hippocampus, and parietal lobes, which work together to shape our thoughts. Wow. It might seem too complicated to digest, so I will try to do my best and say it simply. More than 10 years ago, when I worked on my postgraduate research on psycholinguistics, I investigated the process typical for a human mind while learning and creating. And unfortunately, I had to deal with an ultimate belief equal to a popular view at that time that creativity is a product of the brain's right hemisphere. Innovative people are considered right-brain thinkers, while left-brain thinkers are thought to be analytical and logical. Now here is a spoiler. The truth is, logical thinking and creative thinking are intertwined more than we can imagine. A lot of creative thinkers are also very logical. Anyone who learned history at school can recall the magnificent creations of ancient Egyptians, or Da Vinci paintings and technical drawings, biotapestry or Mughal embroideries. They were carefully drawn, planned, and executed. If you're curious about science, the names of Darwin and Albert Einstein come up easily. Their works were novel and innovative, and they continue to inspire new scientists even today. There is a certain elegance in their marvelous pieces and an outstanding logic also. Logic also implies creative work, right? Creative thinking doesn't just mean art and feelings, and logical thinking doesn't just mean math and numbers. Both are about the beauty of solving puzzles. Solving any puzzle or even drawing a circle requires some amount of both creativity and logic. The first pushes boundaries, while the second formulates a process for testing or producing an idea. I investigated the process of foreign language acquisition and its mechanisms, comparing them to an action that occurs in the human mind while an individual is busy with anything creative, like painting or needlework. It was fascinating, and I realized that the results I got were quite contrary to the traditional overview and classical approaches from the first decade of the millennium. So a committee of experts did not allow my dissertation to be defended and sent it back for revision with a remark, it does not correspond to the generally accepted concept. I put up with it and quit, having no desire to fight with an old school setting and instead prioritize family nesting, but a while ago, I came across a series of research held by skeptical neuroscientists who have argued that there is no enough evidence to support this old-school thought that I bumped into many years back, and that such complex abilities as human creativity and language acquisition must draw on vast areas of both hemispheres. While the brain hemispheres do have specialized functions, the brain functions as a whole, with both sides working together, and there is no evidence if one side being dominant in most people. In society, there are still some beliefs that creative people are driven by the right hemisphere. They are emotional, intuitive, sometimes irrational, and all their non-logical behavior has nothing to do with rationalism. However, a situation changes when a person deals with an unfamiliar case. Creativity draws on well-learned left hemisphere routines, rules, and logic. Recordings of brain activity could reveal the point at which a performer is ready to realize some conscious control and rely on unconscious, just well-learned routines. But what about creativity and creative skills? How do they match with ordinary routines? If we commonly deal with such routines as couching a million French knots, couching yards of silver thread, or cutting bullion wire precisely, are there any place for proper creative processes? While often seen as opposites, creativity and logic are interconnected and can be powerful allies, with logic providing a framework for analysis and creative work enabling innovative solutions. Logic provides a structured approach to problem solving, allowing us to break down issues and analyze them systematically. I feel that every time when I organize my embroidery tutorials, dividing a whole into small chunks and putting them into numerous lessons. To tell you the truth, it's sometimes very tricky, especially for a chaotic person like me, but I do my best to switch on logic mode. The same I do while stitching, documenting all the stages and taking pictures. I try to be logical, but sometimes I just get lost. Creativity in general helps us think outside the box, explore unconventional ideas, and generate novel solutions that might not be immediately obvious. The interplay of logic and creativity can lead to more effective action of problem solving and better outcomes. You may have a question, how is that realized in practice? Let me explain, please. If we observe logic from the angle of design, for example, it helps in understanding the constraints and requirements and following the algorithms to learn and practice the skill. Meanwhile, creativity allows for innovative solutions. When we don't come up with a stable color for embroidery floss, we dye it with ordinary watercolors or onion shells, tea or coffee, pine cones, and hibiscus. And can this work in art? Is it possible to find rationalism in art that is free and unpredictable? Actually, yes, an art logic can be used to understand the underlying structures and principles of art, while creativity serves for unique expressions. The most effective approach often involves finding a balance between the two, using logic to guide the process and creativity to generate ideas. Since these two parts are not mutually exclusive, and people who can think both analytically and creatively tend to be great communicators. Moreover, logic can be used as a tool to explore new ideas and test their feasibility, while creativity can be used to explore new ways of thinking and acting inside and outside of the presumed boundaries of reality. But why do we create? Have you ever thought of that? Actually, we make things for a multitude of reasons, including to fulfill needs, express creativity, contribute to society, and bring something new and meaningful into the world. Through making, we can put our own personal spin on tradition and transform ourselves and influence the way we think. The act of making can merge and reinforce our minds, emotions, values, and even self. The process of making can help us learn new skills and grow as individuals. Creation is just a wonderful action to observe and dive into. Recently, for example, I had a chance to visit a masterclass of jewelry work and wet enamel design. Just a quick note, the wet enamel technique provides color in metal with pigments from glass powder, which are fused onto the metal surface. There were many people of diverse backgrounds, various ages and interests. Basically, they did not have any experiences in art, but had many experiences of various other spheres and professions. And the thing that amazed me was the eagerness, the passion, the interest. With enormous curiosity, they immersed themselves in applying wet glass powder on the copper plates. Sometimes, when watching how kids play at the playground, I see that they don't care about anything. They just play being so curious. The same I observed while these managers, teachers, housewives, mechanics, doctors, and mathematics were painting, being obsessed for a while with organizing the designs, thinking of how to apply the colors without mixing them, not damaging the order and structure. They were absolutely happy at the moment of creating, crafting, giving priority to their inner self. They cared a lot about precision. They imagined how daisies look and sway in the grass. They recalled famous paintings and tried to realize some of them by unlocking the way of applying glass powders. They were curious, absolutely curious, and curiosity is really the basis of all thinking, no matter what logical or creative they are. When we are curious about the world, we want to think more about it. We explore it and we search for new reasons and ideas. But curiosity is really critical for creative and logical thinking because it provides new outlets for both. While we create, curiosity intensifies. So while the masterclass continued and the pieces were baked in the kiln, they changed the color due to the high temperatures. And it was also a standpoint of curiosity at which novice makers looked at the project of their work from a new perspective. It is fun because it gives a change, serving a great joy that is absolutely fantastic for all ages. Right after, the participants started thinking of possible combinations of colors and shapes, relying on recently gained experience that allowed them to brainstorm and think of new ideas, encouraging analysis about the consequences and letting them focus on the process. It was a real-life lesson which reveals that assumptions about certain ways of thinking or certain personality types are most often wrong. All ways of thinking have value, and we all use a number of them all the time. When we leave these assumptions behind about how certain types of thinkers are or how we should think about a problem, we can really begin to see ourselves and our work in a new light. I noticed the same while working with textile and embroidery, which is widely understood as a purely artistic endeavor. However, it requires logical thinking and planning, executing, practicing, and problem solving, from understanding stitch to sewing patterns to adapting designs and troubleshooting issues, even if they are not connected with material work but vulnerable periods of our lives. The act of embroidery, with its focus on the needle and thread, can help quiet the mind and reduce racing thoughts, promoting a state of mindfulness, self-identity, and a philosophy of life combining the work of both hemispheres, which is the perfect activity for long-term brain health. Specifically, the pressure on the left brain from the modern life eases when we engage the right brain through creative activities. This process helps us synchronize with our inner self, allowing for a deep focus and temporary escapes from worries. When we return to daily life, our concerns feel more manageable and less overwhelming, reducing overall stress. In today's culture, we have few opportunities to fully engage our right brain in a hands-on, tangible way like sewing does. This includes knitting, sewing, and embroidering, which are equally tactile and concrete. If you practice any other fiber arts, please continue. You are also in the team. Neuroscientists suggest that sewing provides meditative benefits and may also help reduce the risk of age-related disorders. Sewing welcomes us to practice, activating both hemispheres and allowing them to come into play, siphoning off the stress and anxiety and pressure caused by modern life, and giving us a rare and blissful chance to recharge our batteries and renew our mental state. So, the answer to the question, why do we do this, comes without saying. I believe that we make things because it is what we were made to do. Naturally, we go on this path because it is in our genes. Nature guides us in a number of healthy ways. Why do we avoid this? We are the little creators of our lives and the world as we know it. Whatever we hold in our hands, brushes, paints, or textiles and threads, we should not eternally roll them uphill, but apply them with love and curiosity without any fear of mistake. Exercise your creative superpower that leads you to a happy and healthier life, and I will be back soon.